Welcome to Our Voices, Our Future, the podcast where we amplify the voices driving change and equity within medicine and beyond. Brought to you by the Gender Equity Task Force, a committee of the American Medical Women's Association, we're here to challenge norms, break barriers, and ignite conversations that matter. I'm Megan Etzi, and in each episode, we'll bring you candid discussions with leaders, changemakers, and advocates working to create a more inclusive and just world. No more silence, no more waiting. It's time to get Our Voices, Our Future. Today, we're welcoming Margaret C. Wang, LMFT. She's a psychotherapist and stress management coach based in San Jose, California, specializing in anxiety and depression, woman-identifying and non-binary people in the medical field, and woman-identifying and non-binary people of color. To start off, can you just tell us a little bit about your path to becoming a psychotherapist and stress management coach? What drew you to supporting women and non-binary individuals, especially those in medicine and communities of color?
It's a wonderful question. And first of all, I want to say thank you so much for having me, Megan. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate you. So I would start off with, I think on a personal level, I have a lot of friends and family members in medicine. And as a result, that's one of the reasons I feel like I can relate to your community, just because I see the day-to-day where you guys are on the front lines. You're all like the firemen, the police department. It's kind of like a go-to and a non-question when you all have to be on call, whether it's a holiday, you know, the evening before a holiday, on the holiday, it's understood, taken without question. And I feel like that's very different from other professions. And as a silly note, I was watching one of those reality TV shows, and she was paired with someone who was a fireman. And I think her, even though she had some family members in that area, she personally had to deal with these struggles of when her partner was going to be away and kind of making sense of this balance or lack thereof. And that's one of the reasons that I really feel connected to the community with people working in the field of medicine. I would say on a personal level, I started going to therapy around late high school, college, and I found that it was very important that I had the therapist I had at the time, but I noticed that there were some gaps when I was talking to my therapist who identified as Caucasian, just because there were some things that I had to explain that kind of created some kind of barrier in terms of being able to be myself in session. And there were some things that I had to maybe protect her from or felt like I couldn't really talk about. And so that was one of the reasons that I wanted to become a psychotherapist. It still took a while to get there, but really grateful to be here as a psychotherapist, here on this podcast with Dr. Esty. So
yeah, I that's awesome. I just recently started therapy myself, and my therapist is a man and does not have any relation to people who are in medicine. So I find myself explaining medical school right now a lot, and that's where a lot of my stresses are. And I think that it does create those barriers. So it's very nice to have, it's nice to have people that know about what you're going through and can identify similarly to you to, especially therapy. That's a very personal place to be. So that's super awesome that you're able to cater to these specific niches of people who really need it. Can you tell me in your practice, what are some of the most common stressors you see showing up for your clients who navigate both like professional and cultural expectations?
I would say anxiety and depression. A lot of times people come when it's gotten quote unquote bad. You know, people don't come when it's a good time. And so, you know, and you know, it makes sense. Why would you go to the doctor besides a checkup? Why would you go to see someone more regularly if there isn't something dangerous or something that you should be really concerned about? And so I think a lot of this kind of comes from this cultural understanding that emotions should be suppressed. So whether this is like, oh, you shouldn't feel this way, you should feel grateful for this, and as a result, that means you can't have all these other emotional experiences. But what I've kind of, what I personally have dealt with and what I try to tell my clients from time to time is that sometimes there's an and. You can feel grateful and hurt and angry. Because a lot of times there are these emotions that are less acceptable. You have the ones where, you don't want to get fired, so you can't just, go on a rampage. And things that are kind of more acceptable. It's more acceptable to be friendly and smiley. People, quote unquote, appreciate that. But in the day-to-day living, if you do that over and over again, where is there time for those other emotions?
That's great. I know that many of us are raised with the idea to just constantly do plan events, take emotional responsibility for not only ourselves but others, anticipate the needs of not only ourselves but others, often without acknowledgement. How do these expectations uniquely impact the mental health of cisgendered women or women identifying people?
I think it's really complicated. I think there are a lot of layers. I think about historically, I think around, like World War II, that's when women started working. And then I would say around the 1970s and 1980s, it was more common for women to work full time, and there's some freedom that comes with that. And as a result, there's this internalized expectation for us people identifying as women or cisgender women to wear multiple hats all the time, whether that be being the party planner, being the scheduler, being the person who is constantly talking to this person in order to schedule some kind of double date or whatever the gathering may be. And I think it's tricky because it's not something that women ask for, but it's kind of sometimes expected. And unfortunately, there may be a lack of understanding coming from people who don't identify as women.
So, kind of on the flip side about that, like, how do you notice the guilt that often shows up when people try to set these boundaries or say no to these things that may be expectations of us that are just kind of set?
Great question. I think a lot of times, people are primed for our regular behavior. So when we start to push back, they're kind of met with this foreign response. And, fortunately, like anybody, family members, close friends will start to adjust, but we also have to let them kind of take their time because they're used to us acting a certain way. And so it will feel kind of abrupt sometimes if we set a boundary that our close friends or family members aren't used to us, responding.
I think that's a great, I've never thought about the way of like giving other people some grace in your life when you are changing the way that things are usually done, right? They aren't
Right.
expecting this either. As much as it may be hard for you to set the boundary and say the no's, it's also hard for them to get used to the change in their world as well. I think that's a great perspective. I've definitely never heard of it that way. I know, like, especially here, just continuing on with these expectations and saying no's and just our reasons as to why there's a constant push to kind of like justify our opinions, to over explain ourselves and systems and prioritize maybe cisgender male voices a lot in the world. How does it show up in your clients, and how do you kind of like give them advice to deal with this?
I think it's tricky because I think there's no solution that fits all. And that's the beauty of it, and that's the hardship of it, right? Because we all kind of want some magical bullet that cures it, but really, it's kind of figuring out what works for you and adjusting. And it's also kind of like different seasons in your life. So maybe, around if you're in a busier state, you might have to do things one way. But let's say that there's more space and grace in another period, that's where you can, extend a little bit more. And whether this has to do with figuring out, do your personality traits play a role in this? Are you a very extroverted or introverted person? Or are you somewhere along the spectrum? A lot of us are. And so how do we kind of get fed in the way that makes us feel good, makes us feel re-energized? It can be one of those things that's kind of like 10 steps forward, one step forward, 10 steps back. It can kind of feel like that. And it's kind of like this dance. You figure out, okay, this works for now, and then we have to readjust.
I think that's hard. I think that we really like consistency and we like forward progress, especially those of us in the medical field, right? I find a lot of us are very type A, very want to see this progress. And sometimes it's hard to take a step forward and then fall back and, those little inching steps. I think that it's very difficult, especially for a woman in medicine. You definitely work with a population that I feel like that is a lot you probably talk about, and that's hard to get these people to accept. I know when somebody looks at me and says, you know what, like it's okay to make backward progress a little sometimes, I'm not very accepting of that. That's hard. We live in a culture where self-care is often sold to us as a product rather than a process of that inner reflection, How do you help people reconnect with more of these authentic forms of caring for themselves?
I'm going to bring up a loaded topic, but I feel like we need to understand the context. So there's this really cool book by Trisha Hersey. She says it's called Rest is Resistance. And I like how she brings up some heavy stuff around how consumerism, capitalism, and white supremacy are linked together. And as a result, it is difficult for us, as people of color, as people in general, to feel like it's okay to rest. With the background of African American people being used as slaves, as objects, and then I think even now to this day, when you think about Black and brown people being put in jail and prison and used as labor. And so we have to take this context to understand how can we approach self-care as something that's beyond just your spa day, just beyond getting your nails done. Can we think about it as something that you're healing your past ancestors that didn't get the needs that they needed to have been met? How can we talk to ourselves in ways where we haven't been able to talk to ourselves in the past? I think, bringing back to the discussion around beating ourselves up for progress, especially if you're coming from this type A mindset, can you be gentle with yourself and say, hey, I don't have to blame myself? I don't have to come down on myself with a big hammer because I went backwards. You know what? It really sucks to be going backwards, but here we are. And let's kind of hang out here and kind of be with it, even though it's really uncomfortable.
So, for any listeners who are navigating these layered experiences, whether in medicine, academia, from cultures who have had bad ancestries and they're kind of working through it, those who are in other high pressure environments, what would you want them to hear the most right now?
I think it's just re create a new narrative. whether that be how you go about doing things and how this sets the tone for the next generation. And then also in the immediate, can you talk to yourself in a different way? I did some research in mindfulness, and one of my instructors, she does a lot of research on self-compassion. And one of the tenets is kind of like acknowledging where things are and then bringing back, giving yourself some of that self-compassion that you never got, whether it was in the past or in the present. And that's the thing about emotions. I tell a lot of people that emotions aren't rational. Emotions aren't logical. And so they're not going to make sense. And as a result, we kind of have to talk to ourselves and say, hey, it's okay if it's not logical. It's okay if all the dots don't connect. But you know what? Your system is feeling this way, and just kind of giving space for that.
Feel like that just little phrase of emotions aren't logical is such a powerful thing to just remind yourself of in the heat of the moment. I feel like that is extremely powerful takeaway from this little episode together. I want to thank you for this little conversation that we've had. I feel like it's been just full of a lot of great advice and a great talk. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Etsy. Really appreciate you.
So that's a wrap on this episode of Our Voices, Our Future. We hope today's conversation inspired you, challenged you, and reminded you of the power of raising your voice. The fight for equity doesn't stop here. Join us in the movement, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and if you love this episode, share it with someone who needs to hear it. Until next time, stay bold, stay vocal, and keep the conversation going. This is Our Voices, Our Future.